He is here to talk about his latest release. The Science of Aging is the topic. The Telomeres Revolution, we'll ask if that's the correct pronunciation. Appreciate you, Dr. Michael Fossil. How are you?
I'm fine. It's actually telomeres, but I always tell people telomeres. That your pronunciation is always right. And everyone else says it wrong. So whatever it was you just said, that's the right way.
Telomerase. Yeah, but I go for perfection. The telomerase revolution. Obviously, I'm going to ask you what telomerase means, but let's first ask about you, Dr. Michael Fossil. Who are you?
I'm somebody who was a clinical professor of medicine for years, did a PhD in neurobiology, and have been fascinated by age-related disease for about 30 years. And where I'm focused right now is trying to cure Alzheimer's disease.
Well, obviously, if you can find that cure, you will be one popular man and bring peace to many lives. But until then, that is something that is an issue. So, you have this latest book described as an exciting, cutting-edge book. I have some specific questions. What is your intent?
Well, our intent is to explain how aging works and, more importantly, what we can do about age-related disease. The question is not philosophical. The question is concrete. Can we fix things? I think we can.
So, telomerase, what does that mean?
Well, telomerase is an enzyme.
Telomerase.
Either way. Telomerase is an enzyme that it resets the cell aging of a number of cells. And by itself, it's not important, except that it probably is the single most effective point of intervening in age-related diseases.
Let's get into the science. First of all, before we do that, who is your book meant for? Is it a layman's book?
Yeah, very much a layman's book. It's meant for everybody to read. I actually used it for a course of mine, and a lot of my students got back to me and said their parents enjoyed it. And that's what it's meant for. It's meant to be able to be read by just anybody. It's certainly not a technical book.
Is it available out and about?
It is. It's on Amazon. It's on local bookstores. And it's a lot more readable than my textbook originally in Oxford Press, which was a bear.
What was the name of that text?
Well, that was Cells, Aging, and Human Disease by Oxford University Press. And about 40% of it was references. You can imagine what it was like to read. This is a lot more readable. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Now, that's why we want to talk about it. And let's talk, first of all, about some physiology. First of all, you remind us that some cells age and some don't.
Yeah, and, you know, when you and I get older, the problem is that certain cells aren't doing their jobs. And if that's the cells in your knee, it's pretty obvious. But sometimes there are other cells that are responsible for disease. I give you an example. When you have a heart attack, it's not your heart muscles that's at fault. They're sort of the innocent bystander. The problem is your coronary arteries. And what we find is that the cells that line the coronary arteries show age-related changes. And again, the question is, can you do something about it? And I think for decades, the feeling was you couldn't. These things just happen. You get older, you rust, things fall apart. What do you expect? It's actually much more complex and interesting than that. And what we find is that the cells that are responsible for these sorts of diseases, including Alzheimer's, show changes in gene expression and that we can reset those. We know we can do it in human cells. We know we can do it in human tissues. We know we can do it in animals. So it's about time we try it in humans. So we're going to go after Alzheimer's disease and see if we can not maybe slow it down or treat the symptoms, but actually cure it. I think we've got a good shot at it.
Let me spend just a minute with Alzheimer's. This is a process of degeneration?
It is. I sometimes call it the disease that steals your soul. It does. You know, we could get into the technical parts of it, but the essence of it is that you lose yourself. You lose your soul, your memory, your ability to be you. And to me, that's the most tragic disease there is.
So how would one intervene this process?
Well, let me compare it to what we've done. As I recall, I said you had two dogs. I guess you've got three right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Imagine you've got a brand new house, and you have three dogs, and you have five cats, and you have four little children who wander around and are messy, and a husband who's a gardener. And the carpet in your library or in your living room is a mess. And like most of us, you probably vacuum it every day or two to keep up with the mess. But what happens is, as you get older, your vacuum fails. And the question is, what do you do about it? And what we've been doing about it for years is to try to put a blanket over the dog. That is, there's a source of dog hair, so let's cut down the dog hair. No, the answer is to fix the vacuum. So again, we've been looking at Alzheimer's disease as a disease of beta amyloid and trying to find monoclonal antibodies and all sorts of remarkable things to fix it. But that's sort of like putting a blanket over the dog. It's much more effective to just change the bag in the vacuum. Works fine in mice. So that's where we're going in humans. I think we'll find a much better library carpet.
Yes. I like that. I just had all the carpet taken out from the house, so that solved that.
We do have seven cats and two dogs, and our carpet's a mess. And, yeah, I have to keep an eye on that vacuum cleaner.
That's a whole other interview, as I often say. More on our conversation. Is your tagline of your book, Dr. Fossil, the enzyme that holds the key to human aging and will soon lead to longer, healthier lives?
Yeah, and I think the emphasis is at healthier. Yeah. Let me put it this way. The important part here is not to extend people's time in the nursing home. Let me give you an analogy. Back in 1950, polio epidemics were frightening most young parents. And, you know, 1954, the first vaccine came out. But we had hundreds, thousands of people on iron lungs or in rehab centers or getting nursing care, all sorts of trials of therapy. And there was actually concern that in the long run, we'd spend a lot of our healthcare dollars with kids on iron lungs and in rehab centers. They don't exist. The last person that I know of who had an iron lung died in 2008. It's hard to find one these days. These days, we worry about times in the nursing home with Alzheimer's. I think we can do better. I think what we can do is remove the entire problem, get people healthy and out of those nursing homes, and certainly prevent them from being in them in the first place, the same way we dealt with polio.
Let's talk a little bit on aging, the aging process. Does what I eat, does my lifestyle matter in this process, or do I blame everything good or bad on genetics?
I don't know. Do you blame everything? it's actually a lot of both. But, you know, if people ask me sometimes, what can we do to prevent aging or slow aging? And the answer is not much. And most of the answers don't have a lot of sex appeal. The sort of thing that your grandmother told you about, and she costs less than I do. Good diet and exercise and low stress, and as I say, fasten your seatbelt and avoid people with weapons. But seriously, those don't stop aging. The most they do is maybe lower the rate of it. The question is, can we do something about age-related diseases? And again, we need to go a little deeper. We need to strike a little further, and I have a better understanding. And that's where we've finally gotten to in the last 20 years.
Another question I'd like you to ponder. What does this mean for the science and medical community, not to mention the future lifespans with your research with this revolution?
Well, if I look at age-related diseases, let's compare that to things like Ebola or polio or gastroenteritis or, you know, trauma. We've done a lot with those other things, but age-related diseases, frankly, we have never had an impact on. If you look at osteoporosis and osteoarthritis and heart disease, and Alzheimer's, Lord knows, we've made almost no impact on those, certainly no impact on the basic disease. We don't fix your osteoarthritis, we replace your knee. And I think what we're just undergoing now is a whole change in paradigm. We're beginning to understand that there is a way to deal with those diseases in a very basic way, but it means we have to have a more sophisticated understanding of the genes and the cells and the pathology. We're just getting there. So I think we're going to be able to demonstrate that in the next year or two. In humans, not just in animals.
Yeah. Are you doing your research now? How are you spending your days again?
Where we are now is we have a biotech company, and we're just negotiating about the financing right now, and we'll be approaching the FDA during the next few months. We anticipate starting the first human trial next year. We'll probably be looking at 8 to 12 Alzheimer's patients. We may do it locally. We may do it in the Kansas City, Missouri. We have an inpatient facility open to us. In Australia and the UK, various options are there. But what we intend to do is show that we cannot slow Alzheimer's over a period of years, perhaps statistically, but show that we can actually reverse the cognitive decline in a measurable way. Again, there are limits. I'm sure we can't bring everybody back to what they were if they were 20, but I think we can do something that will be dramatically different than what we've done before. Again, same analogy. It's can we cure a disease? Right now, the best drug that's been looked at in the market is a monoclonal antibody that Eli Lilly talked about last year. And what they suggested is maybe they could slow the effect of Alzheimer's and keep you in the nursing home an extra 3 months statistically. Well, since there's about an 8-year period between diagnosis and mean time to death with Alzheimer's, that's like me saying, you have Ebola, you'll be dead in 7 days, and I can give you an extra 5 hours. That is simply not good enough, Shelley. We can strike, as I say, a lot deeper than that, and it's time we did.
The Telomerase Revolution is an exciting cutting-edge book by our Grand Rapids native, Dr. Michael Fossil. Dr. Fossil, did you work in the emergency room for a while?
I did. Enjoyed it thoroughly for about 25 years and was a professor of medicine for 27. It was not an intellectual interest of mine, but a deeply rewarding emotional experience for me. I always loved the fact I didn't have to worry about who had insurance, who didn't. It was a matter of treating people.
Are you or have you taught in with Grand Valley?
Yes, beginning about 20 or more years ago, I've taught aging and taught neurobiology, and then more recently taught aging courses and a course on Ebola. Now I'm working full-time on the research, trying to get the human trial started.
Yes, thank you for that. A couple more questions. We are aging. Can you comment on that? This, I would think, a field for those who want to study aging and a way for us that it's never too late to start aging well?
I think it's finally a field that has some potential for change, something we can do something about. You know, back 30, 40 years ago when I first got involved, I couldn't think of where I would start the research in aging. So I ended up really working just in clinical medicine. There were so many blind alleys. And now I think it's more apparent what's going on. Len Hayflick is a friend who first described cell aging and said, you know, 20 years ago this was the minority view and now it's turning the majority view. And what I see is it's not the older researchers who see this. It's the young students. You know, if I turn to a young medical or biology student and I say, without them knowing me, tell me about aging, the next minute or two, the word telomere or telomerase comes up. That's different than it was 20 years ago. And again, it's a sort of a shift in the tide. We're beginning to understand what's going on.
Yes. Lastly, where do we find your good work?
Well, the book itself, as I say, you can find online or at a local bookstore. The biotech company is called Telocyte. T-E-L-O-C-Y-T-E, telocyte.com. And while we're not prepared for any individual investor, we do keep a registry of potential volunteer patients, but it's a ways to go. As I say, it's about a year away. There's certainly no guarantee who will use or where we'll do it, but we certainly intend to show that we can do a lot better than we've done in the past. You know, back to the analogy of your dogs, we're going to fix the vacuum and fix the carpet, and it's not a matter of working on an individual dog. We're going to clean the whole thing up. Works well.
Your dog shed?
Oh my God, yes.
What are your breeds?
They're all mutts of various sort. One you'd swear was a golden, but she's black. The other one, it's really impossible to tell. And the cats vary all over the place too.
Seven cats. You have an alpha cat?
Some who think they are.
Leader of the pack. Hey, animals help us age well. I would think that would be a positive.
I think you're right, Shelley. Key right there.
Thank you very much. The telomerase revolution.
I think that's a good pronunciation.
Thanks.
But anything's fine.
Do you? With a blurb from Matt Ridley.
Yeah, Matt's an interesting character too, and another one from the Wall Street Journal called it one of the best five science books of the year, with glowing write-ups in the Australian and in the London Times.
Kudos to you, and you're based here in West Michigan. That's what makes us happy. Thank you very much, Dr. Michael Fossil. We'll speak again.
Thanks, Shelley. Look forward to it.